but we're going to go delve into the book itself. But I feel like I've had worship service this morning, and I thank God for that. And I hope everybody's ears are okay, but sometimes I just like to have a hallelujah that everybody can hear. If you would turn with me to the book of Luke, the good Dr. Luke, in the 8th chapter, I would appreciate you working with me this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke, the 8th chapter. Last week we talked about being new and the newness of His creation, the newness in all of us when we're born again. We talked about Nicodemus. Talked about the love that He has for us, and how much love He has for us is amazing, that He would make us new and clean us up. And those of us who have never admitted to being unclean, well, you need to think about your life, because there's none that are perfect, no, not one, my Bible says. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because we have all not recognized Him as we should have in our lives all the time. And you need to admit that to get clean. The best and the brightest of us, and I go back to my saint of a mother, and she would be the first to tell you. The first to tell you that we need to be in prayer every day, because there's something that we have done, not to shame us. It's not a shaming thing. It's just becoming new every day, because His mercies are new. It's a shame to not go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me this day, work with me this day. And during the day, if we're having some trouble, asking during the day, keep an open conversation. Lord, help me have a clearer mind. Help me have a cleaner mind. Help me do what I'm supposed to do that glorifies You and the work that You've already done in my life. Help me thank You for making me new. Patsy would not have chosen, I'll guarantee you, the life in a wheelchair, but God said for some reason, and we've talked about this a lot, for some reason, this is her station in life for right now. It will not be forever. We know what it's going to be forever. No more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more tears, period. But God could not have sent me a clearer message the day I met Patsy, when the first thing out of her mouth was, I thank God for the life He's given me. And I wept. You not only have a newness and a relationship with the Father, but also a new family of brothers and sisters, right? You met a bunch of them this morning, and a bunch of them met you. So in Luke 8:21, are you with me? Luke 8:21. We're gonna back up to 19. And we'll talk about Christ's true brethren, but we're going to emphasize verse 21. It says, Jesus' mother and brothers came to Him and could not approach Him because of the crowd. Excuse me. They wanted to be near their family member. They wanted to be near their, she wanted to be near her son, and the brothers and sisters wanted to be near Jesus. But because it was such a crowd surrounding Jesus, they couldn't get near, which is a bad thing and a good thing. Let's read on. And it says, and it was told Him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Listen to Jesus' response. But He answered and He said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. I was given a lot of thought to that this week. As I was supposed to bring this message. I had a wonderful, wonderful family growing up. But when I reached the age of 12, things started happening and things started breaking down. And I'm not going to go into the details, but some very bad things started happening. One of them with the church. And instead of evolving and getting better for a great period of time, we got in a deep valley. And I actually walked away from my faith because I was so devastated. It took me a long time to walk away. I kept trying to bring kids to church with me all the time, and a lot of them did. And it wasn't until I got to college that I finally got pulled away. But nothing ever felt right. My wife will tell you this too. Nothing ever seemed to satisfy. And my family kept having trouble. And my family's doing okay now. They got through the valley. They got back, not on top, but they're climbing up the hill. And like with me, all of us are getting older. Mom and Dad have passed on. Thank God we have Marilyn's mom and dad. She's lost a brother. It's just been life for us, right? It's just been life. We've experienced this life. But guess what happened when we finally turned our lives over to the Lord? We got you. With all of our little, and you said you hadn't heard this word for a while, Shelva, with all of our little idiosyncrasies, we somehow have come together, and we've come together under the banner of Christ and His teaching, haven't we? And you have a family. I haven't seen some of my brothers and sisters to even be with them one-on-one, to talk with them and touch them in years, partly due to the ministry. But God didn't leave me an orphan. He promised that He wouldn't. He said He would give me a family, and here you are. And we had when we ministered up the river at Center Valley, we had a wonderful family up there. Jesus said, "My family are those who come together under God's word." Because those are the like-minded believers in Christ. And how does it happen? It happens through the invited guest this morning, His Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. The Spirit draws us, teaches us, reminds us, convicts us to say, you know what, I think I'll go to church this morning. You know what, I think I'll call so-and-so and check on them. You know what, I think I'll text them. I think I'll... That's the Holy Spirit working in your life, drawing you to the right thing instead of the wrong thing. So there was Jesus' blood, flesh and blood, that couldn't get next to Him. And they told Him, they said, "Your family's waiting outside." He said, "My family's right here." Because they seek God's Word, and God's Holy Spirit have led them to Me. And God led you here this morning, and He led you here this morning too, Patsy. And we praise God for that. And Patsy, by the way, this is what happens at Vanderhoof when you're not here. We go crazy. Some people walk on the back of the pews. And a little later, I'm going to get the snake box out. Please don't leave. George, don't leave me. You are now a part of God's people because of His Holy Spirit. Jesus couldn't be. This is proof right here. This is proof that Jesus couldn't be physically everywhere He wanted to be all at once. Of course He desired His mom and His brothers and sisters. Of course He did. Of course I do. I'd like to be in Oakland, Maryland this morning, worshiping with my sister Vivian. I'd like to be in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'd like to be in Parsons. I'd like to be in somewhere else in Maryland where my brother is. But I can't be all those places, can I? That's what Jesus was emphasizing. It's not settling, it's celebrating. that wherever you are and like-minded people are there that have been drawn together by God's Holy Spirit in worship and looking in His Word, there's my family. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. It's in the back of your Bible. The book of 1 Peter. And we want to look at chapter 2. This is one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. One of them. I don't have a loser. There's no losing losers here in the Bible, but this is one of my favorite. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. Excuse me. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. 9th verse. It's celebration time. When you read this, you need to celebrate. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. We were once scattered. Tell people this all the time. When we're together in small groups, just like the kids the other night, that was marvelous. We had a great time bowling. I mean, just a great time. Most people can't bowl like me, but, you know, that's their problem. I'm bragging because I'm so poor at it. We were once all scattered. We had not yet come to faith. We had not yet found Jesus Christ. There's a point in our life when we didn't have that relationship, right? There's a point. Joe's told me about his accepting Christ. I love the story. He's in Puerto Rico. He's being ministered to. And he still remembers that. He still gets teary-eyed when he talks about it, how special that was. That's just one of hundreds of stories that I've heard. When you get to the point where you accept Christ, then you're never, ever again alone. You're never far off. You've been called by His Holy Spirit. You've been chosen. And then you're ordained when you accept the call. We're all called, but some will never accept the invitation. But those who have accepted the invitation are immediately invited into the family, signed, sealed, and delivered for all time. It's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. You know, I told Lim, we would never have had a relationship had it not been for Jesus Christ. Right? I wouldn't have been talking to you folks had it not been for Jesus Christ. Right? It's the truth. We have a common denominator. His name is Jesus Christ. But He pointed out to us that He couldn't be every place at the same time. So He made us a promise. And He said, here's what I'll do. First, I will die for everyone's sin. I will take it upon myself. I will allow myself to be placed on that cross of Calvary. And when I come down and am placed in a grave, I'll resurrect in 3 days to prove who sent me. Because I give God the praise. That's what Jesus said. And then I'll appear on earth and I'll be many places and there'll be unfallible proof that I live. But then after I've accomplished that ministry, here's what I will do for you because I love you. Because I want you to eternally be a part of my family. I will make myself available everywhere by sending my Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you. I will be with you in the truck seat. I'll be with you in a race car. I'll be with you at your birthday party. I'll be with you at Arcadia. I'll be with you wherever you are, under the knife of the surgeon. I'll be with you in a lake in Branson, Missouri. And even though your body might die, you shall live, because you have answered the call of God's Holy Spirit. And once you're a part of His family, baby, you can never be not a part. He's got you because He loves you. And He's an incredible big God. If you haven't become part of the family, you need to do it immediately, because we never know if we're going to be one of the 11 or one of the 9 called out of the 11 that won't be here tomorrow. You don't know that. You can't say that. If you do say that, you blaspheme God. My Bible says specifically that we should never say, and we all do it, we're all guilty, but my Bible says specifically we should not say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Never. If we're thoughtfully in a spiritual mode, we should say, if it is God's will, I will attempt to do this. And if He so desires that I can do this, I will do it, because He is the author and finisher of my faith and knows the number of my days, and He and only He knows when it's time for me to go home. If you're not ready, if you haven't, and you know the call is on your life, and you know the call is on some of your friends' life and your family's life, if you want your family to be together again, then you do all you can do to convince them that the love of Jesus Christ is in you and that you believe that you are safe, sound, and secure. Your family needs to know that from you. I've told my family, they, you know, kids don't want to hear that thing, but I tell them anyway. If something happens to me, don't worry. I'm going to be okay. I know that I'm going to be okay, because I accepted the call of His Spirit. I answered it, and He said, welcome to the family. John 6:63. I go there all the time. I hope I'm not boring you with it, but we're going to go there anyway. And I don't know if we'll get much further than this or not. But John 6:63. John chapter 6 in the 63rd verse. And that's what we'll emphasize, but that's not where we're going to start here. We're going to start in the 60th verse. John chapter 6, starting in the 60th verse. This has to do with the call of God's Spirit on our life, and you know that it's there. We've all experienced it. You know that you know that you know this. You know that. You know that you have heard God speak to you, and sometimes we will not admit it, but there will be some people who will reject this call. Jesus had just told His disciples and those that were surrounding Him, unless you drink of My blood and eat of My body, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. You're not one of Mine. And some people took it literally and were offended by it, and we should never be offended by that. He doesn't mean we're supposed to eat His body and drink His blood literally. He means that we need to recognize the blood that He shed and recognize the body that He offered as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He said, my blood that I'm asking you to drink is the blood that covers sins. It's the blood of redemption. The body that I'm asking you to partake of and eat is the bread of life. And then in verse 60 it says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Well, I just explained it. When Jesus knew in himself, verse 61, that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? It's still offending people today. Still to this day, people complain about us having communion, when what communion is about is remembering the blood and remembering the body. Some religions, and they're religions, they're not faiths, some religions believe that the bread is turned into flesh and that the wine is turned into blood. How they can read their Bible and come up with that is beyond my imagination. That is not what Christ is saying. And he explains it. Why can't they use this scripture to understand what communion is about? Because Christ is talking about communion here. You must drink of my blood and eat of my flesh if you're going to be one of mine. And then he goes on, he says he knows that they're troubled, but he's going to explain it. If you've been coming to Vanderhoof for a while, you know that when we offer communion, we offer it with explanation every time. Excuse me. Verse 62 says, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Is that what it's going to take for you to start believing? Am I going to just have to go up into the clouds? And then he goes further and he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus' words, not Craig Holler's. He explained all he needed to explain, and I'm going to try to help us all understand this. He categorically, without any shadow of a doubt, said it's not about the flesh and blood. It's about the Spirit of life. Remember my body, yes, it was given for you. Remember the blood, yes, it represents the New Testament in the forgiveness of sins. Yes, remember that always. Take communion, participate in it, and wholly believe that we're honoring Jesus Christ during that communion exercise. But then remember, he says, his words, not mine, he says, remember that the life that you have, Patsy, is because of his Spirit. And the life that you have beyond this earthly thing that we're in, mine too, I'm a wreck. You know that? The life that we have beyond this is our spirit. It's the God-given spirit, our soul that is God-given to us is just being carried around in this vessel. Our flesh will profit nothing. We try our best to fix it up and clean it up and shine it up, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love a good, fresh, shined up body. Especially one that smells good. Man, we're down at Galapagos yesterday and there's 5,000 people and they've been out in the sun all day long. Woo! Did they need washed? And a lot of them were walking around admitting it too. But how many of them needed washed by the blood? How many of them have not heard the story of Jesus Christ? How many of them have not heard stories like these that says, I thank the Lord for the life that he has given me? I don't know if I could do it, Patsy.
With God, everything is possible.
Patsy just said, with God, all things are possible. And I have to believe that. But you're living proof You are living. God said, what do you want? Do you want me to ascend up into heaven? I'll give you one better than that. What do you want? You want me to send Patsy here to tell you about this? Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for each and every one of you who came today to hear that the Spirit gives us life. It's God's Spirit that dwells in us. It's being called to that family and answering that call and being able to say, wherever I am with other believers, I'm with my family. It's a pretty special thing. It's not just special. It's God-given. And it's God-breathed. And it's His Spirit that gives us life. Accept the call. Jesus said, I will call you and call you and call you and call you until you've breathed your last breath on earth. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what He said in John 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters. He says, I'm going to supply my agent, my Spirit, I'm going to supply my Spirit to you to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. To convict you of sin. To give you that little tap on the shoulder that says, hey, you think you ought to be doing that? And to lead you to your knees and say, Lord, I do need cleaning up. I could use a bath in your holiness. And I would like to become part of the family. Will you accept me and forgive me of my sins? And Jesus always says, welcome to the family. Amen. Let's pray.